Hello, welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greyer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight we want to put a shout out to all the Black Americans out there for Black History Month. The fight continues for justice, equality, and personal freedom. It's also the month when love is celebrated. February 14th usually is the day. I'm sending love out to Black America to stay strong and always believe that Black lives matter. And in studio, speaking of love, we welcome David Perez and his boyfriend, Danny Morga.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome, you two.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, David and Danny have been together a little over 1.5 years, and we knew David when he was recently out of high school, and we had him on the show with his mom a couple years later, and then we met Danny through David. In fact, they were both in Diana's play the last couple years, Private Lives, Private Lies, and they were in the intervention scene with me. I was Dr. Ives, and then David was Michael, and Danny was Adam, so we're super excited to have you on our show, both of you.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear you share your roles with everybody and your love life and your passions and how you navigate the world, especially as a newlywed couple. No, you're not wed yet.
No, we're not wed. No, don't rush it. Don't rush it.
But first, everyone, we have news and events with our Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Maralia.
And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up.
This is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of February 4th, 2018. Jamaica has banned from entering its country a pastor from Arizona who called for gay people to be put to death. Stephen Anderson of the Faithful Word Baptist Church has already been banned from South Africa, the UK, and Canada for spreading hate, and he was arrested and deported while in Botswana in 2016. A spokesperson for the Ministry of National Security on Monday said Anderson celebrated the victims of the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. He's a Holocaust denier and said he would pray for former President Barack Obama to die and go to hell. The decision was made by the chief immigration officer because the pastor's statements are not conducive to the current climate. He was scheduled to speak at the University of the West Indies, which rescinded its invitation. Jay John, the activist whose online petition calling for the Jamaican government to ban Anderson from the country, garnered nearly 40,000 signatures. He said, quote, "This is a positive outcome in which I am very pleased," end quote. And here in the U.S., a married male same-sex couple whose twins share the same egg donor but have different fathers have filed a lawsuit against the federal government alleging that the U.S. State Department is discriminating against them by denying birthright citizenship to one of their sons. One twin, Aiden, has the DNA of Los Angeles native Andrew Davish Banks, and the other, Ethan, has the DNA of Andrew's husband, Israeli-born Elad. Ethan has now become a plaintiff at just 16 months old in a federal lawsuit against the U.S. State Department that seeks the same rights as his brother as an American citizen. Elad said, "What we're trying to pursue is justice for Ethan and correct a wrong that the State Department is continuing to pursue that might affect other couples." He added, "These are twins. How can you differentiate between them? They were born minutes apart." The case was filed by Immigration Equality and said the children of a U.S. citizen who marries abroad are entitled to U.S. citizenship at birth, no matter where they are born, and even if the other parent is a foreigner. The State Department said it doesn't comment on pending litigation, but pointed to guidance on its website that says there must be a biological connection to a U.S. citizen to become a citizen at birth. Apparently, the State Department considers the marriage of the two men to be irrelevant. And in Indiana, despite overwhelming support for a proposed hate crimes law, representatives squashed the idea to appease their religious rights supporters. Indiana is one of only five states without any hate crime law. While Indianapolis was named one of the 20 finalists for Amazon's HQ2 offices that would bring thousands of high-paying jobs to the area, the Fortune 500 company was crystal clear that it would choose a location that values diversity and equality. Indiana Democratic Party Chairman Jody Zodi said in an emailed statement, "The Republicans reinforced today just how out of touch they are with a majority of Hoosiers, blocking a policy nearly two-thirds of Hoosiers support and 45 other states have enacted." For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan. And in studio, we have Danny Morga and David Perez. Thank you both so much for being here again.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's get started with just telling the audience a little bit about yourself. So David, why don't you start?
Okay. So I'm David, and I'm 31. I'm a full-time employee with Umpqua Bank. I work in the commercial servicing department, and I've been there 11 years. I'm also a full-time psychology student at University of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I have to do it online, of course, because the commute would be hectic. And yeah, so I mean, I live up in Hidden Valley Lake currently, and I'm gay and happy, and life's great.
Young man and a homeowner, and
that's right.
That was so wonderful last year, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah, my first house. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm lucky. Yes. So
great, Danny, your turn.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Danny. I'm a full-time employee for Sebastopol Community Market. I'm a cashier there, and I've been there for about 6 months. I'm 25 right now, going on 26.
Does that mean your birthday's around the corner?
Yeah, well, it's coming up in August, so yeah.
It's a big corner.
Yeah, so it's not yet, but it's coming up. Yeah, and I mean, I love, my biggest passion is I love fashion. I'm big on clothes, so I love to dress pretty good. Whether it's going, you know, even at work or outside of work, it doesn't matter. It depends, you know. I'm a big gamer. I love video games. It's, you know, on my spare time, I play, you know, a good fighting game or two or something. Yeah, and I'm gay. I live in Hidden Valley Lake with my partner here. And yeah.
And you like to do your hair too. It's beautiful.
Yeah, right now it's like a blondish color. Almost, I wanted it to be platinum, but I mean, I guess it looks good anyways, right?
Yes.
You looks, always look good, baby.
Yeah. Oh, how sweet. Here comes the love.
We love it.
Okay, great. So let's talk about how you first met. Let's get into the love thing right now. And we're going to go back to that I heard earlier when we went off break about the wedding thing. We're going to get into that later, too, your ideas on marriage. But you know, hey, so tell us, Dan, why don't you tell us how you both got together?
Okay, so I really like this question. So in 2014, we found each other on a popular dating app. We both chatted for a very long time, and we were both interested in each other. Went pretty well. Only thing is, though, I was in an unhealthy relationship at the time, so I was only on the app to be social. I wasn't really looking for a relationship or anything like that. And I, you know, I in 2015, we didn't really communicate for a while because I wasn't ready. So I told David, I said I needed some time to fix myself before I jump into something, because I knew what a good person he was. So I asked him, I said, hey, I can't, you know, I need to get myself together. And of course he was understanding, so I was happy for that. Yeah. But yeah, I was stuck for a moment, and then when summer came around, I felt like I was ready to move on, and just, you know, move on to the next step of my life. And then, I wanted to come back home to the South Bay. So I ended up finding David online again one night, 'cause I re-downloaded the app, and I was shocked, and I was also nervous to contact him again because I felt like he would not remember me. But I said, you know what? I decided to just take the chance and say, hey, you know, and see if he would, you know, say hi back. And of course he did. Of course he messaged me back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So how did you know David was a nice guy? You said that earlier, that he was a nice guy. How did you get that through?
Well, the amount of talking that we were doing, and him, you know, being very open and talking about his, you know, his life to me, basically. And, you know, I felt like I could trust him. You know, I felt like he wasn't just somebody that was trying to be dirty with me or trying to,
the usual app traffic.
Yeah. So
was it hard for you to trust? I mean, because you talked about your unhealthy relationship and leaving that.
It was really difficult. Again, I was in such a toxic relationship that really screwed me over financially, emotionally, and even abused me physically. So it was hard. It was hard to, you know, trust somebody again. But I mean, I felt that there was hope, you know, again. So that's why I said that when I was talking to him, to David, he, you know, again, he seemed nice and kind, and I felt like I can trust somebody again and be able to open myself and let my walls down, mm-hmm. you know, and try to, you know, have a connection again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was in a good place in my life, and I said that I wanted to meet David for the very first time. So I decided one day to finally fly out here to the North Bay, because I used to live in Orange County. Mm-hmm. So I flew all the way over here to meet him for the very first time. And I mean, I was excited to see him. I was very nervous, of course, but I was excited to finally meet him. And then we both hit it off very well. So at the end of the day, when I, you know, it was time for me to go back home, we both decided to make it official.
Oh,
and became boyfriends. Yeah.
After one day?
After one weekend.
One weekend.
Oh, you spent the weekend. You didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah.
You'd be a waste. Yeah. Here. Be a waste of a flight for 24 hours.
You want to add to that? Because I think, was that the night, wasn't that Diane's party? That wasn't the before then.
Okay. Yeah, it was before,
because I remember the first time we met. That was the first time we met Paul.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like Paul. Danny.
Danny.
Yeah, and you were just so special that night. I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So David. So like as Danny said, yeah, we met through a dating app. And for those of you who may be curious, it was Plenty of Fish, and it's, I know, what a weird name, right? Plenty of Fish in the Sea, I guess, is what they were going for. And, you know, I was chatting with him through there, and it was cute, you know, and then he was trying to tell me that, you know, he was in an unhealthy relationship, and then when it got to the point where he obviously needed a disconnect, it seemed like something was really going wrong in his world, and he needed to take care of it, so of course I understood. I gave him his space. What he forgot to mention was that we also exchanged phone numbers. So Snapchat, if anybody's familiar with that, you can post like quick little photos or 10-second videos of your life throughout the day. So although I wouldn't communicate with him for the entire year of 2015, I'd be able to pull up his story and every so often just kind of get a little peek into his world throughout the year, make sure he's okay, see what he's up to. So when he jumped back on a year later, you know, we just picked up where we left off, and I said, so, hey, what's going on, you know, and he's like, that's fine. He goes, you know, I noticed that your screen name in Snapchat was watching my stories. Why did you never say anything? And I said, well, you told me you needed space, and I was going to respect that. Wow. So a year, you know, it was kind of a cute thing, just kind of looking through a little window, a little day in the life of Danny is what it felt like. So, yeah, when even though it was such a brief kind of distance, it really felt like, you know, a year and a half worth of communication already occurred prior to him coming up here. So we tried to do, you know, once a month visits where he would fly up for the weekend. And we started realizing after the third time, it was way too much money. So I told him, why don't you just pack your car up and your things and just come out this way and move in. And at first he was like, well, that's kind of quick. And I said, I understand that, but look at it this way. If it doesn't work out, you're only a couple of hours away from your family as opposed to Southern California, an 8-hour drive. I'm not saying it's going to fail, but if, you know, it doesn't work out, you're not going to be at a complete loss. So he said, okay, why not? And so he drove up, and that's when you met him that night, and it was actually the night he got here. So he was already exhausted, which is probably why he was so quiet.
No. Yeah, it was nice, though.
Yeah, it was cute.
Wow. And so you've been here ever since?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Year and a half.
Yeah.
A year and a half.
Wow. So how's it going? So what's the ups and what's the down part of new relationship building? Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, the ups and downs, I mean, you know, when you move in, there's going to be a lot of, you know, fighting for your own space, your own area and whatnot. And of course, when you have a bedroom that you share, personal space is not so available. So if there's something going on, you know, one of us has to agree, okay, you're going to take the room. All right, I'll stay in the living room.
Well, something going on. What do you mean? Identify what that means.
Well, like, let's say, you know, maybe if he has a bad day and he just needs to go relax, or maybe, you know, for any reason we do have some sort of disagreement, nothing big or crazy, but just, you know, maybe he'll say yes, I'll say no, and we don't want to deal with it and don't want to talk about it. And one of us will just go to the other room and then we'll come back and revisit the subject. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good overall. I mean, but then again, you know, it's two people, it's a year and a half. You're still feeling each other out, you know. So I'd say overall, it's great.
You really get to really know the person when you actually live with them.
What things have you learned that you didn't know about before, Danny?
Meaning what?
Well, I mean, I love him. I love David very much, but can be really crazy sometimes.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way.
Okay.
In a good way. In a good way.
Can you elaborate on how in a good way that he's really crazy?
Well, the facial features he makes a lot of the time.
Oh.
Really weird facial features.
You didn't know that before you, when you were doing.
I did not know that at all, to be honest. And then his little sound effects that he makes, like when the one that really made me crack up was his, when he knows how to do the sheep. The sheep. That really cracked me up. So then, he knows how to do it very.
Can you demonstrate?
It's very authentic, yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, that right there, and now he's not going to be able to pay attention.
Oh, and cracks him up. Okay. Yeah,
I save the cartoon character persona for when, you know, they're here. Because, you know, doing that on a weekend might scare them away and they'll never come back. So.
That's nice. So it seems fun.
Yeah, it's fun, of course. Uh-huh. It's always an interesting thing with them every day.
He is a character, I must say. From what I know. And I don't live with him.
Yeah.
So if you were to look at your... I mean, you brought up the unhealthy relationship in your past. And now you have David. And it's obviously you're very happy. I mean, you can't stop cracking up when... David's a comedian anyway, but, you know...
Look at that smile, right?
I mean, it's clear that you both are very happy together. So Danny, what have you changed in your life to attract a good relationship versus what did you do to attract an unhealthy relationship? I mean, how have you changed?
Or did?
Well, I mean, you can never really tell if somebody's going to be good or a bad, you know, so it's just, you just have to take a leap of faith and really get to know the person, you know. So, I mean, my ex, you know, I felt like he was a really good person at the time, you know, because very attractive, you know, I found him very attractive and very, as far as personality and looks wise, you know, but I loved his personality more, you know, but then... I guess after a while, I really started seeing his, you know, his ways. Again, I used to live with him, so I started really getting to know who he really was, and you know, he started showing his true colors when things started going downhill. So, and then again, too, I let him take advantage of me because I was, you know, it was too easy, and then I had too much of a big heart. So, I wanted to be helpful and caring for him, but he just took advantage of that. Mm. So that's how I ended up getting hurt in the long run, you know.
How long were you with him?
I was only with him really like four months. It wasn't really that long of a relationship because, again, I started realizing that how much of a crazy person he was, you know. So, yeah, it was just really, really bad. But, I mean, I've been in a few unhealthy relationships, but, I mean, I guess eventually when you do end up being with somebody in a healthy relationship, then there's a good person that comes, you know, along. That's what happens, you know. So you just really have to get to know somebody, you know, and hopefully they'll end up being a good person. If they're not, then you move on to the next person, you know. But, of course, this one that I was with was really hard. And it's hard for me to let go because I was stuck. I didn't know what to do, you know. But after a while, when things just, I just said, you know what, I have to let him go. I just have to move on. It's not going to get better. He won't change. And I had hope that he would change, but he wouldn't. So, yeah. So you
were able to be courageous on your own, or did you have support from outside family or friends? Or
no, after when I ended up moving out of his place for the last time, I moved to Santa Ana. So I ended up moving on my own without anybody, it was just me by myself. So I was able to take care of, you know, I was able to live independently. You know, I don't need other people to support me. You know, I'm very independent and I know what to do when things, you know, if things go downhill, I know that I plan for the worst basically. So.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, changing. I mean, when you got into this relationship with this guy, it sounds like you had such a big, open, loving heart that you didn't realize he was the way he was. And now it sounds like you're maybe, is it fair to say you're a little more worldly, you're a little wiser, you're not going to let people take advantage of you again, you know?
Well, after this relationship, yes. I will never let anybody take advantage of me like that again. And I won't let my guard down that easily again like that.
Yeah.
No matter how hard it is for me to really let somebody go, I got to look out for myself before others.
Those are some courageous words there, Danny. Really. And I think it's really important, too. Maybe you have experience in this, David, with the red flags. You know, learning, like when you said, Danny, you got to see this guy's true colors after a while. I mean, those red flags that we can either look at and address or ignore. And do you have experience with that, David?
Oh, big time. The most impactful relationship I had was actually an on-again, off-again toxic 6-year relationship through high school and a little after, which resulted in me having less of a quality connection with future relationships after that, because there was still residual toxicity. I wasn't willing to let it go and move forward because I really loved the person. I truly thought this was the one, despite all of the differences we had, all of the fights we had. And, you know, both of us were guilty of not contributing and making it healthy. I mean, we were both in our wrongs throughout the relationship, but we were young and we were both feeling it out. And with that, it caused a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil for myself. And, you know, once I got into the play that you made, it was very healing for me. And it was helping me move through that. But on top of that, you know, being with Danny and realizing that, you know, there are people out there that despite what they've gone through, they still are genuine people. The heart may have been damaged, but it's not dead, you know? And beautiful. I think between the two of us having experienced that, mine more in, you know, longer in the past compared to his, I feel like it was safe for us to actually give to each other emotionally because we weren't scared that the other was going to hurt. We knew we were both already hurt. And as we were growing together, it was basically just two people finding a connection and helping each other be the best each other we could be. So I'm very happy for that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very beautiful.
What was that quote you did? The damaged heart? That was beautiful. What was
that? Oh, the damaged heart, where the heart may be damaged, but it's not dead.
Yes, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to just check in with you over there, Danny. What's happening? How are you feeling? What are you?
I mean, it gets emotional when I talk about it. Talking about the story again, especially like you said, what he's put me through. So it's like when I talk about it, it just brings back that memory, you know. And I mean, it's hard. It was a hard time for me, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that I'm finally out of it and I was able to, you know, get back on my feet again and start over, you know, thanks to my partner here. Yeah. you know, it's helped me a lot. It's helped me get through a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, at the end of the show, we always ask our guests for some words of wisdom. And I'm wondering if you could think about, you know, at the end of the show, we'll ask you, Danny, and maybe you could address your thoughts to someone who's listening who might be in the same situation you were in, and maybe you could offer them some words on how you got out, what maybe they could do to get out. Maybe mm-hmm. that would be really insightful, mm-hmm. something to think
both
about.
Both of you. Yeah. You too, David.
Yeah. Sure. This is a good time for our music break. Mm-hmm. And David and Danny, you brought a song that you both love, and I was wondering, David, if you could introduce it.
Of course, yeah. It's by Sam Swee, and it's called Me Without You.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we chose the song as our song is the words are just very powerful. You know, like I said, we were two kind of not broken people, but we, you know, we've been battle hardened, you know, and
yeah.
by finding each other, we were very happy to finally just be able to put down that armor and just be together.
Yeah.
So it's very sweet.
Enjoy.
No, I don't understand how I held it together before I could hold your hand. And I can't recall if I knew who I was before you knew me, flaws and all. Whoa.
Be
How I held it together before I could hold your hand.
And welcome back. This is Living Proof, and that was a beautiful song. Thank you, David and Danny, for bringing it. By Sam Swee. Is that I say it correctly?
Correct.
T-S-U-I, and you can find him on YouTube. And the name of that song was Me Without You, and gorgeous song.
Beautiful.
So getting back to our questions with you both.
Yeah.
Diana has an interesting question.
Well, you know, I'm always going to go back to that marriage equality one.
Of course, of course.
And I know it's early in the game for both of you, mm-hmm. but, you know, have you thought about it? Have you considered it or what? Danny?
I don't think we're ready for that, to be honest, just because it's a big step to do. And it's a really big step, and it takes time, you know, it really truly does. So I mean we love each other very much. It's just that, you know, marriage can, I don't know, it could maybe change things, or it could be, you know, I don't know, I guess it's just
what needs to happen in the relationship then. I mean, what are you thinking about?
This is David? A difficult,
yeah. No, David, maybe you want to answer.
Oh, I mean, well, I mean, wow, put me on the spot. No, I don't really think anything really needs to change. I mean, like I said, you know, it's been about a year and a half. We've lived together. We were kind of getting the routine down and how to, you know, navigate the waters together. And even though we see this as being a permanent relationship, marriage officiates the permanency. So I feel like we want to not rush, mm-hmm. but give it at least a year or two just to see how strong we grow before we make it permanent. Because I'm one of those people where I know life throws you curveballs, and I want to see how well we do as a team to get through those curveballs. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at. So it's not so much really anything's needing to change. So,
mm-hmm. Agreed?
Agreed.
I mean, that's a great way to say it about the curveball, and just trying to see how you both will be a team when you know the curveballs are coming. Mm-hmm. And they say, this is what I heard, either you have to take a long road trip with the person you might marry, or you have to do a remodel with the person you might marry to find out if you can hang together during all of the ups and downs that will happen on the road trip or the remodel.
Or go to college and right. be and take psychology.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's that too, because you know, you don't get to see your partner while they're in school studying all the darn time, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be, I mean, the spouse, I'll say spouse, but partner of the student has to be so understanding and jealous. Like
demanding,
not
of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I went through it with Diana when she was getting her PhD. She was gone 1 week and a month, Friday, 9:30 in the morning till Sunday, 10 o'clock at night. And then when she wasn't at school, she was on the computer studying, researching. You know, I never got to see her. And it took, I don't want to put a feather in my own cap, but it really did take a lot of patience on my part. I had to take care of the house. I had to do everything because she was busy studying.
But on the other side of that, though, is the fact that you would always get on my case about being your therapist. Diana, I'm not your client, so I'm curious about that piece, because I know, mm-hmm. David, you're in school.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
very passionate about psychology, very much so. And I'm about 2 years into my bachelor's of science degree. But from the age of 14 on, I was also trained by a marriage and family therapist to act as a peer counselor to students in high school and a youth group. And so with all of that life experience, I kind of have that character about me. So whenever Danny, you know, and I maybe not see eye to eye, he always has to tell me, you know, you need to stop right now. He goes, because you're no longer acting like my partner, you're acting like my parent, uh-huh. and you're trying to coach me to be a better person. And I'm like, well, yes, I understand that, but you feel like I'm like, you know, no, don't do this oh. now, young man, you know? And oh. I'm like, you're barely younger than me, but I guess the way I can come off oh, is, yeah. is very, very like parental.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's when it gets a little funny at the house, yeah. so.
But that's great though, Danny. I mean, for you to be able to say, hey, let's put the brakes on. I'm not the client. Yeah. I'm your sweetheart. Okay. Yeah, because Cher and I, we dealt with that a lot, but I still continue to do my thing.
Right.
I just had to throw that in. But anyway, we managed 40 years.
But
okay?
I must say,
hello?
Though, I must say, I mean, the ego is a very fragile thing. And in the beginning of our relationship, we fought a lot in mm-hmm. the beginning. And I didn't want her to control me, and I didn't want her to tell me anything. And, you know, I feel like, when I look back on these 40 years, I'm a better person because I listened to you finally. You know, I think I'm a better person and I understand the world in a better way okay. because, you know, you're in it. So,
y'all heard so, that, right?
So, I mean, there is a point where our partners who are in school or they are already therapists, I mean, it is like they do know what they're talking about. Sometimes we just have to tell them to stop and let us find our own way, you know, sometimes. Right, Danny? Yeah, yeah, he's going. Yeah.
He's just nodding. Can you put words to those nods? What are you feeling? What do you think?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
No, we're just talking about yes, him, like David the, being a therapist,
and me putting on the brakes and being the boyfriend and not the psychologist.
Oh, I mean, I tell him otherwise. You know, just you know, I'm your boyfriend, not your son or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I mean. Yeah, I do stand up for myself, you know, and tell him.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
He puts up the boundaries.
Great. So let's move and let's talk a little bit about family support. You know, we know your mom, Dawn. Mm-hmm. Hi, Dawn. I hope you're listening. What a sweetheart she is. And so she's just, how has she just welcomed Danny into the fold or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, for those who may not have known my mom from the last show that I was on, she's also a lesbian and she is super nice. I mean, every time someone meets her, they're like, okay, you're my mom too. And, you know, she and Danny met and, you know, we visit quite frequently, you know, because she's down here in Santa Rosa. And, you know, we have a blast. We'll go visit her and they'll hang out. And there's were actually a couple of times where they've, you know, joked around and ended up ganging up on me. And I just had to sit there and, you know, be the good boy and allow myself to take the lumps. So, but yeah, no, I mean, they get along great. And she's, you know, very supportive of us.
How about your Danny's parents?
Well, dad doesn't really like the fact that I'm gay. He knows about it. You know, he knows, but he just won't like... He won't say it, you know. But my mom, on the other hand, my mom is a little bit more understanding. I mean, she knows too as well. Like, I'm sure she does because she knows David. You know, I talk about him all the time to her. And she knows what a good person he is and what he does. And she knows, you know, she knows definitely our relationship. But she'll introduce him as... like a friend, just as like a friend, she'll say amigo, which is like friend, like your amigo, like he's your friend, not boyfriend,
not esposo,
but not like esposo, exactly, yeah. Not husband or you know, it's just like a friend. But in she's really saying that he's my boyfriend, you know, she knows that already. Like, mm-hmm. And I know she's not dumb. She knows. I don't have to tell her that we're together. She knows.
She's got that mom's intuition.
She's got that intuition, exactly.
But you haven't met her person?
No, I haven't had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's also a language barrier. Mm-hmm. She's not very fluent in English, and I'm also not very fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But for Christmas, I got her a cute little present. And then I typed up a letter in Spanish. So, well, because that way, you know, I had time to, you know, correct my grammar and spelling. And uh-huh. I had Danny read it over to make sure it was appropriate. And then I put it in a little box and I shipped it down to her. And the funny part was, is I was so excited to know what she was going to say about the letter that I made him call her the next day to figure it out. And the first thing she said was, oh, thank you so much for the gift. Tell your friend, thank you so much. And he goes, well, he wants to know what you thought about the letter. She says, what letter? She was so excited to open the box, she didn't notice that the letter was in there, so she had to go back and get it. And then she says, okay, I'll call you later. I have to read it. It was really funny. But, yeah, she thought it was a sweet thing, you know, a sweet gesture. So
very sweet.
Yeah. So you gave Danny a special look when you said, I got his mother a very cute present. Mm-hmm. What'd you get her?
Well, it was more, I guess, functional than cute. She needed a wallet. And uh-huh. So because we both have a passion for shopping, I found a really nice, you know, wallet for her that she wanted a specific color, and come to find out, I guess it matched her purse.
Oh, great.
Very well.
Oh, nice.
And so it was just a trifold wallet, and mm-hmm. I had a letter that I typed up. It was a whole 8.5 by 11. So, you know me, I can't stop talking. So typing is about as much, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's all the family support. You have any siblings or?
Yeah, I have cousins and I have my aunts and uncles. They all know. They also know I'm gay too, and they support me very, very well. They don't say anything bad about it. Believe it or not, my cousins like knew. I didn't even have to tell them. Like, you know, the day that I came up to them and said, "Hey, guys, I'm gay," and they're like, "Oh, we always knew." Like, oh, we always knew. We you didn't even have to tell us. Like, we knew that, you know. And then some, of course, like, didn't know. So I had to sit down with them. Like, some of my aunts and uncles, I had to tell them, like, hey, look, I'm gay. I'm not, like, you know, I'm not straight or anything. I'm into guys. And they were just like, oh, I mean, that's okay, honey. Like, they're, you know, that's okay, honey. Like, you know, you love whoever you want to love, you know. You know, and then some did. And then some, unfortunately, did get uncomfortable and, you know, just, you know, they just acted differently towards me, mm-hmm. You know, especially during the holidays when I went down to see them. Yeah, some just ignored, really didn't, only said hi to me, but didn't really, like, want to engage a conversation with me. And then others were just, of course, welcoming and, you know, being a family and, you know, being supportive there. So
how were you affected by the ones who just weren't,
I mean,
so kind?
That's just, that's them. Uh-huh. You know, I'm a grown person, you know, I mean, I'm an adult, so I don't really, it doesn't really, I mean, yeah, it does bother me a little bit, but again, it's them, you know, I'm not going to change for them. You know, I'm gay and I'm happy to be, and I'm proud to be gay. So, you know, so I didn't really like get to me, mm-hmm. you know.
Wow, that's courageous for you to go and just talk to aunts and uncles and telling everybody, hey, this is who I am. That shows a lot of strength. Mm-hmm. Wow. Cool.
Well, I mean, I felt like I had to, because if, like, I didn't, then they would have just felt, you know, hurt or broken mm-hmm. by it, that I didn't love him enough to tell them, you know. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was right to do, to tell, you know, tell a lot of them.
So you both have coming out stories. So I'm curious, when did you know? When did you know you were?
I came out when I was 15 in high school. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I told all my high school friends. I told everybody, because I used to be bullied a lot when I was in middle school. Mm. And a lot of times they bullied me because they kind of had a feeling that I was into guys more than, because I told myself that I liked girls. You know, so I wanted a girlfriend, you know, and I'm like, nah, you like guys, you know. So they would always bully me and pick on me for me to come out and for me to say something. So mm-hmm. in high school, I was fed up, and I said, and I built the courage to finally say, you know what, I am, and I like it, you know. Mm. I've always had thoughts about it when I was a kid. I've always dreamt about it. And I've always, you know, when I grow older, I started knowing what it was and realizing, you know, I was like, oh, you know what? I am gay. I'm not straight. I don't like girls. I like guys. So,
any role models or any gay people that LGBTQ people you saw, like teachers or anybody, family members?
No, not really. Hmm. No, it was just, it's all me. Hmm. It was all me.
Wow.
So
that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
So was there a GSA at your school?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. They formed a GSA when I was like in 2000, when I was a junior in high school. That's when they started forming the GSA. Mm.
Did you join?
Oh yeah, of course.
Uh huh.
Of course, as soon as they formed it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely interested.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Good for you. David, what about you? When did you come out? When did you know?
Well, I came out when I was 14, so freshman year in high school. And the very first person I told, ironically, was not my mom, who, of course, is the most supportive woman in my life. And she told me all through my life, as long as you're happy, doesn't matter who you are, who you become, as long as you're a wonderful person, I'm going to love you. And I just want you to be happy, you know. The first person I told was my best girlfriend, who I've been friends with for almost 2 decades now. And the first time I wanted to even say it, I remember calling her on a phone, physically sitting in a closet to come out of a closet. And so she just was like,
that's what? David, right? Being dramatic, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hiding as if, you know, like I'm hiding from the cops or something about it. And I told her and she was like, what? Are you serious? Oh my gosh, we have to tell everybody. We need to go shopping. And then she's like throwing out every stereotypical event that we could do. And I just started laughing and I was like, okay. We ended up telling the student body. I was at a high school here in Forestville. And the minute the student body found out, I kind of unleashed a tidal wave of prejudice and discrimination from the entire student body. Didn't realize how bad it was because I was grown up in such a loving household to be who I wanted to be. I never thought being, you know, the social cliques would cause a problem. And I was pretty much beat up, spit on, had food thrown at me. I had my life threatened, almost run over walking home from school twice. Mm-hmm. I had been hit in the spine with a steel stool in my engineering class, threatened to have my hand run through a table saw, all just for the fear, the one tiny fact about myself that I'm just gay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going out of my way to do anything, minding my own business. And that was my life through my entire freshman year and halfway through sophomore. Mm. Eventually, I received support from a local youth group, and they transferred me over to Santa Rosa High, which became a giant culture shock. Mm. By then, I was encouraged to just be myself. I became a peer counselor. I ended up being captain of the varsity cheerleading squad by my senior year.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. And it was really exciting. But
I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah, surprise. And
do you know any cheers?
Not off the top of my head. No, it's been so long for me. But it was really fun. The one thing that I thought was really upsetting is throughout all of the issues that I was dealing with the first year and a half of high school, no matter how much I would report to the staff, they did absolutely nothing to protect me. There was no GSA. Mm. They pretty much said, oh, well, who's doing it and where? And I pointed out, you know, well, this area of the quad. And they said, well, then stay out of there and don't go there. I said, excuse me? I was like, this is a public school. You're telling me don't go to the public area because those people who are basically occupying it are threatening me. So avoid them rather than punish them. Okay, I get where you're going with this. And so I felt a little disheartened about the world for just a brief moment until I ended up going to Santa Rosa High, which definitely, you know, brought me back to who I am. And so there hasn't been any like traumatic, like, you know, stuff that's sitting with me about it. You know, I don't end up with like almost like a form of PTSD. Yeah. If something matches that, I don't get that. But, you know, I think even though I've gone through it, I've really grown to, you know what it looks like. And instead of me turning it into something that hurts me, I turned it into something that would help others, which is why I want to do psychology, because I want to be that advocate, that person that can help those who may go through what I did, but not be so lucky. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they are not so strong to move through.
And maybe they don't have a parent who's a lesbian.
That too.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes me think about the bullying that you talk about and all those horrible things that happened to you and what Danny expressed too. And we know that that's happening in schools because adults are not paying attention.
Right.
Adults are not listening or standing up. And so that's why we just always, that's why we love doing this show, is because we want to be visible. We want to let people know that we exist and that we will always exist. And so we just need the support from the adults, especially in during the school, you know, for the young people.
Yeah, I'm curious, Danny. I wanted to ask you, when you said you were tired of the bullying, so you just went ahead and came out when you got into high school. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Did the bullying stop?
Yes, it did, actually, surprisingly. There was one of my one guy that was a big bully. His name was Jesse, and he continuously did it throughout until when I finally came out. And then when I did, surprisingly, he stopped and became much more respectful towards me and much nicer to me. And he said that if anybody bullies you again like that, I'll make sure to beat them up.
Mm. I wonder what's his story? Why would he turn like that? That's just so interesting.
I kind of felt like maybe there was like he was a little bit like there was an attraction. You know, he might have liked me or something like that, and he wanted, you know, that was my thought, but I wasn't like entirely sure. But that's what I felt like. I thought he had like maybe he had a crush on me or something like that. Mm. You know, so but yeah, I mean, I was fed up. I didn't like to be bullied, you know, and I finally stood up for myself, you know.
It seems like that's an ongoing theme for you, Danny, seriously, because you stood up for yourself in your four-month relationship with that guy that you said was unhealthy. You stood up for yourself when you were coming out in high school, and it sounds like you're your best advocate, mm-hmm. You know. Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Wow. So time is ticking, and this has just been a beautiful, beautiful show. But we cannot get out of here without talking about private lives, private lives. Mm-hmm. Wait, how does it go? Private lives, private lies.
Mm-hmm. You got a life, and you have an untruth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my God. Are we getting older or what?
Chicken or the egg.
Exactly. So anyways, when you pulled up, I haven't seen you both, and we haven't seen you in, what, since August, our last show. Mm-hmm. And it was just so happy. I was just so pleased. My heart was like pounding because I saw you two, and it's been so long and from the show. So I'm just curious about you and how you feel about being a part of Private Lives, and are you willing to join forces again? Because eventually I'm getting my I'm geared up to start looking again. And so whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I am definitely an actor for life as long as this play keeps going. I mean, it's a very healing play. It's a very powerful play. And you know, I stay true to, you know, what has done right for me. I mean, like I said, the character Michael that I've played through every show has done a lot of healing for me, you know, helps me move through a lot of those, that residual toxicity I was talking about, mm-hmm. from a past relationship. So with that, you know, it's definitely a yes for me. I'm not going anywhere, mm-hmm. you know.
Beautiful, yeah. Wonderful. And I know you're thinking about maybe possibly playing Tony.
Absolutely. Yeah, now that my emotional, you know, stability has switched over to another place, yes, feeding the flame would probably help me a little bit better to burn bright. So
cool.
Yeah.
Right. Change it up a bit.
Absolutely.
What about you, Danny?
Well, I mean, at first I didn't really want to do it because I've never been on a stage before, and I was really nervous, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, from watching the play, I felt very, like, impacted, of course, and I got emotional a lot of the times, especially when, you know, David came out in his part, you know, I cried, you know, I got really emotional because it was really powerful, you know, mm-hmm. you know, so, but when after the play, I was like, you know what, let me think about it, you know, because he told me, he's like, oh, you know, you should do it, you know, it's fun, you know, it'll help you break out of your shell a little bit more. So I said, okay. You know, and then I've just felt like, you know what, let's go for it. Let's do it. You know, so I ended up, you know, trying out for a character I play as Victor. Adam, sorry, no, my mistake. It's been long. So yeah, I play a character.
Oh, named Victor. Okay. No.
No. A character I play is Adam. And I mean, from the scene, it reminds me of an old best friend that is currently dealing with alcoholism, mm. and dealing with problems. So it's kind of like where I go back into my, you know, dark memory, dark past, you know, when I faced him. So, you know, I mean, there's a part where, I mean, one of my favorite parts from the letter, or the letter that I wrote, I like the last part, which is when I said, I said,
give it to us. Let us hear it.
Back up. Don't be blowing out your drums.
So I'll just say it like with
little.
Yeah. Okay. So I end up saying, I do know how hard this is. I'm sorry, Vic, but this is the way it has to be until you make some changes.
Mm. Yes. Mm. That's right. That's powerful.
That is my favorite. That's my favorite part out of all of them, because that exactly what goes back to my memory where I, you know, face my best friend. I tell him pretty much almost the same thing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. David, you have a favorite line?
I do, actually. It's from the letter that Michael actually reads Victor. And it says, I can't do it for you. I can't save you. I thought I could, but I can't. Only you can save yourself.
Mm.
That really resonates with me. Mm. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Ooh, stars. Yay, Broadway, here we come.
I wish we had more time to talk about the play and your lives, really. But it is time to close down. And so, like I said at the beginning of the show, we'd really like to hear from each of you. And you only have about 30 to 45 seconds. So words of wisdom to our listeners, what would you like them to know? David?
Well, sure. Well, it's for the younger generations. You know, social apps are very good at finding people, but I feel that it also has created instant gratification in a community, which causes people to think that love is instant gratification. They fail to realize that it's work. And whenever something goes wrong, instead of working on it, they throw it away. Mm-hmm. So don't throw away something on the first conflict. You know, work through it. It might actually be more valuable than you thought.
Mm. Thank you. Okay. And Danny?
I mean, I can say for the people that are in a toxic relationship like how I was, of course it takes time. You know, you really love them. You know, you really won't love them and don't want to let them go. So, but in the end, you will truly know when it's time to finally just say, I'm done, and move on and walk away. You can still love the person, but you don't have to be with them. You don't need to be together. You know, if both are hurting, then, or if you both continue to stay and there's no changes, then it's already a guaranteed failure. And then, so understand that, don't be afraid to do what's right and for your well-being.
Mm.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you both
so much. Yes.
It's always too short of a time. Remember, like David and Danny, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. Like David and Danny, you too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. This is Diane and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio and KRCBFM comes from members and from Sonoma West Publishers, bringing you the Sonoma West Times and News, the Healdsburg Tribune, Cloverdale Reveille, and the Windsor Times, providing independent journalism and local community conversations in print and online at sonomawest.com. And from the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, presenting An Evening with Michael Pullen, best-selling author and sustainable food advocate. It happens on Thursday, February 8th at 8 p.m. In this autobiographical talk, Pullen tells the story of the path his thinking and writing have taken since he first planted a vegetable garden. You can get tickets and learn more at lutherburbankcenter.org. On air, online, or on the go, you're listening to KRCB Radio 91 at 91.1 KRCB FM Windsor and 90.9 K215 CQ Santa Rosa. It is just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.